Chapter 4 The Prison of Love.
Mother, Mother, I'm so happy,
whispered the girl, resting her head on her mother's lap. The tired-looking woman was sitting in the only armchair of their dingy sitting room.
I'm so happy,
Sybil repeated.
And you must be happy too.
Mrs. Vane put her thin white hands on her daughter's head.
I'm only happy when I see you act. You must think only about acting. We're poor. We need money. What do you know about this young man? You don't even know his name.
His name doesn't matter. I call him Prince Charming, and he's everything to me. I love him because he is what love should be, and he loves me.
You're too young to think of love,
said her mother. She looked at her daughter's radiant face and tried to warn her of the dangers of love, but the girl was locked in the prison of love and would not listen. At that moment, the door opened and a young man with brown hair came into the room. His hands and feet were large and clumsy. Mrs. Vane smiled at him, and Sybil hugged him. James Vane looked into his sister's face with tenderness.
I want you to come out with me for a walk, Sybil. As you know, tonight I'm leaving for Australia, and I won't see you for a very long time.
Oh, Jim, you really want to take me out for a walk? Let's go to the park.
She ran upstairs to get dressed. When James and his mother were alone, he said,
I've heard that a gentleman comes to the theatre every night to talk to Sybil.
Yes, the young man is undoubtedly a gentleman, James. Probably a member of the aristocracy.
James bit his lip.
Watch over Sybil, Mother. I'll be in Australia, and you're the only one who can protect her.
At that moment, Sybil entered the room and said,
I'm ready, Jim. Let's go out.
In the park, Sybil talked excitedly to her brother, but he was sad and gloomy.
You're not listening to a word I'm saying, Jim,
cried Sybil.
Why are you so sad?
I've heard you have a new friend. Who is he? What do you know about him? Can you trust him?
Stop, Jim! You mustn't say anything against him. I love him.
But you don't even know his name,
answered James.
He's called Prince Charming. He's the most wonderful person in the world. I wish you could see him.
Sybil, tonight I'm leaving and I'm worried about you. I want you to be careful. You're mad about him, but you don't know his intentions. If he ever hurts you, I'll kill him.
She looked at him in horror. He repeated his words, and they cut the air like a knife. The people around them gaped.
Come away, Jim. You don't know what you're saying. He loves me, and he'll love me forever. You're simply jealous. I wish you would fall in love. Love makes people good.
I hope you're right, Sybil.
They returned home, and James had a small meal. Soon it was time for him to leave. He kissed his sister tenderly, then turned to his mother and said,
Goodbye, Mother. Don't forget that you have only one child to look after now. If that man hurts her, I'll kill him like a dog. I swear it. I suppose you've heard the news, Basil,
said Lord Henry that evening, while they were having dinner at the Bristol Hotel.
No, Harry,
answered Basil.
What is it?
Dorian Gray is engaged to be married,
said Lord Henry, watching him as he spoke. Basil frowned.
Dorian? Engaged to be married? Impossible.
It's perfectly true.
To whom?
To some little actress.
I can't believe it. Think of Dorian's position and wealth. It would be absurd for him to marry an actress. I hope the girl is good.
Oh, she's better than good. She's beautiful,
murmured Lord Henry.
And Dorian is not often wrong about these things. We'll see her tonight, so we'll judge for ourselves.
But Dorian can't marry an actress. It's absurd,
cried the painter, biting his lip.
Why?
Lord Henry said coolly.
He'll love her wildly for 6 months, and then suddenly he'll be in love with another woman. It will be amusing to watch.
You don't mean a word of that.
Lord Henry laughed.
Here's Dorian himself. He'll tell you more than I can.
My dear Harry, my dear Basil, you must both congratulate me,
said Dorian, shaking their hands.
I've never been so happy.
I hope you'll always be very happy, Dorian,
said Basil.
But why didn't you tell me? You told Harry.
There isn't really much to tell,
cried Dorian.
Last night, I went to see her act. She's an artist. After the performance, I went to speak to her. As we were sitting together, suddenly a look came into her eyes that I'd never seen before. My lips moved towards hers. We kissed each other. I can't describe what I felt at that moment.
At what point did you mention the word marriage, Dorian? And what did she say? Perhaps you forgot all about it,
asked Lord Henry.
I didn't make a formal proposal. I told her that I loved her. When I'm with her, I forget all your fascinating, terrible ideas, your theories about life, love, pleasure.
Pleasure is the only thing worth having ideas about. When we're happy, we're always good. But when we're good, we are not always happy.
I know what pleasure is,
cried Dorian.
It is to adore someone.
That's certainly better than being adored.
Harry, you're terrible. I don't know why I like you so much.
You'll always like me, Dorian. I represent all the sins you've never had the courage to commit.
What nonsense, Harry. Let's go to the theatre. When Sybil comes on stage, you'll have a new ideal in life.
The painter was silent and gloomy. He could not bear the idea of this marriage. He felt that Dorian would never be to him all that he had been in the past. Life had come between them. When he arrived at the theatre, he felt he had grown years older.